This is Caregiver's Compass, an uplifting podcast all about the ins and outs of caregiving for a loved one. Tips, tricks, true stories, and experts. It's all here on Caregiver's Compass. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Caregiver's Compass. My name is Stephanie Muscat. I am a registered social worker and psychotherapist. Please note that this episode is not the act of psychotherapy. So the last few months, I have been touching on different aspects of my journey with my mom to her diagnosis, what we started realizing in her, how my dad was handling everything. And today I wanted to talk about how I was handling everything at the time, because I don't even know what I would call this state. I think it was mostly shock, a lot of grief, a lot of confusion, so much anger, and a very long situation and journey to finding myself and relocating who I was, because I was very lost during this. Anyone would be so lost in this process. But given that I was so young and I did not have any siblings to speak to or bounce off of, not that that provides a guarantee really, but I just felt like I could talk to nobody during this time who would understand me. And I felt like my life was completely changing before my eyes and that the trajectory of my life was going to be entirely different. Which wasn't wrong. I mean, that's exactly what happened and what the circumstances were. But it was really from 0 to 100. And I would have days when I would just be so emotional. I would be so worried that I would get an emergency phone call all the time. It was hard for me to focus on anything. I didn't really know how to care for myself, given that I was living with my mom. After I had finished university and moving home, I was living there. I couldn't really get away from it. I was helping her all day, except when I went to work, and then I would come home and be there. And even when I was out with friends or trying to enjoy my life, I was still thinking about her and what was going on. And not only was I worried about her and thinking about everything, but given her diagnosis and her behavioral facets, when I would come home, I would kind of be in this line of fire with her where she would yell at me or call me names, be very aggressive. She physically hit me many times, and I couldn't escape that. It was like coming home to this madness, let alone seeing everything fall and shift before my eyes. So I'm going to start talking where we had already noticed things were wrong, but I was in school at university, over an hour away. I would take the bus in and out. I've mentioned that before. And I was so lost and so confused. I remember feeling like everything had just been ripped away from me and nothing would ever be the same. I remember looking at friends who had looked one way one day, and then the next day, I would look at those friends again and think, they don't get me, you know? They have their mom. They have their life. They have the ability to talk to her, to call her. They're going to have their mom there when they get engaged, when they get married, when they have kids. And that is not my life anymore. I had no idea what the progression of the disease was going to look like. I created all sorts of thoughts and outcomes in my head because that's all I knew. And it was this deep rabbit hole of what ifs. I know that the prognosis we were given was grim, and she has outlasted that substantially, but you know, there are always average prognoses. And I had a journal, and every single day I would just cry and journal and cry and journal. I didn't want to see anyone. I was so anxious. I just didn't know what to do. And as I've mentioned previously, and the reason why I started this whole company, I couldn't find other people to relate to. I tried joining groups through different avenues. There's a hospital nearby. I said I want to join a support group, and no one got me. No one's parents had dementia. There were other things they were grappling with, of course, that were terrible, like cancer, and there were other diseases that parents were managing, but no one could get the situation that I was in. I was seeing my mom slipping away before my eyes, but also being extremely aggressive with me, which people would understand when their loved one had a cancer of the brain. That's, I know, when behaviors shift a lot. But, you know, there were people whose loved ones had all sorts of other diagnoses, and they were tremendously awful. I felt so awful for everyone going through anything like this, but no one got me and my experiences. I joined a support group through the Alzheimer's Association, and it was all 80-year-old women there talking about their spouses. And I remember when I walked in, they all looked at me and they were like, whoa. I feel so sorry for you, which is not something that you really want to hear in that situation, because they were struggling, but they looked at me and saw that I was struggling so much more. And that made me feel even more isolated and alone. I have spoken about my husband, who was my partner at the time. He moved into my parents' house with me, which was such a source of support. And he was there. I'm going to get emotional. He would help me clean the house. He would talk to my mom. He would engage with her when I couldn't. And he was there, even though she really wasn't well. He was there, and he agreed to be with me and live with me. And it wasn't until a certain point, when all of this had really gone to a peak, when I realized that I was taking care of most things, when my dad was in the home, retired, and not taking care of my mom's affairs, but really just kind of going on his bike and going for walks and doing whatever else he was doing, and I was managing everything, that I realized this is backwards. I shouldn't be the one taking care of my dad, who's a fully functioning adult, and taking care of my mom while I am just out of my undergraduate degree, trying to go into my master's program, trying to work a job in research. I was working several volunteer jobs as well. I wanted experience under my belt before I went into my master's program. Why am I managing all of this by myself? And I remember going to my dad one day. I had a huge breakdown at one night, very big emotional breakdown. And I said, I can't do this anymore. And I think I had been living at home now for almost, I think, over a year. And I went to my dad and I said, I can't be here. I have to leave. I need to move out. I need to focus on my life. That's what mommy would want. She would want me to start my life, start a family. That was all she ever wanted for me. And I cannot be her primary caregiver, given that you are here, you are able to help, and you are able to do something. And he relied on me, but I had to take a stand. And that was the most pivotal moment of this entire situation, was me deciding that I was leaving. He was so unhappy. He didn't know what to do, because I was really doing everything at the time. And I just said, I can't. Like, he's going to have to figure it out when I leave. He's going to have no choice. And I don't want to paint him as a bad person, and I keep saying that, but he was just not used to it. He was always tended to by my mom. He was always tended to by his mom, and he didn't know any differently. My mom was responsible for everything in the house, and he would go to work all day. He would work all night, and he would come home. And this was a big shift for him. I think he was really lost and confused, because my mom was not the person that he thought she was going to be when he retired. And so my husband and I started looking for places, and he was really unhappy about it. And then we found a place and we left. And I know it was such a shift for him, but being able to move out of that place and being able to be in my own environment and kind of have that separation, even though I was still very involved at the time. I didn't leave him totally, but I was able to have my own life finally and be away from it, was just such a shift in my life. And it provided me the happiness and the freedom and the ability to say no, which I couldn't do when I was living there. I could not say no. I could hear her yelling upstairs. I could hear her calling me upstairs. I could hear my dad calling me upstairs. When I moved to my own place, I no longer had that. They could call me and I could decide I wasn't answering the phone. And that was so different. That was very, very different. And that was the pivotal moment. And that was when everything shifted. There were a lot of growing pains. My dad called me a lot. I was still involved from the perspective of appointments. But over time, I told my dad and the providers that I could not do it, that I was going to focus on my life. I wanted to get married. I wanted to start a family. I had a job. And my dad was very capable of doing this. I said I would be there if they needed me, if they needed support, but that after years of being the only person involved when there were other capable people, I couldn't do it anymore. I just could not. I knew that I was going to take my life and not fulfill it in the way that I could and not in the way that my mom wanted me to or my grandmother wanted me to. They would not want me to stop my life for this. That was the opposite of what they wanted. And my dad wasn't in a place to see what was going on, but I had to move forward. And that's when I became free. I'm still involved. I talk to my dad every single day. I go to see my mom a lot. But because I'm in a separate place, I've been able to set those boundaries. Is it easy for me to not answer the phone? No. Is it easy for me to say I can't? No. But it's been years and years of practice, and it's over practice and over time that these things become more innate and more okay. And when the recipient on the other side realizes that this is the way things are going to be, these are the boundaries that are going to be set, and this is the way it's going to be ongoing, you get a lot of anger. You get a lot of pushback when things have been one way for so long, and then you say, no, I'm not doing it anymore. My dad wasn't happy. He wasn't happy with me. But that was the way it was going to be. You know, he was in his late 60s and very healthy and retired. So that was the decision I made. And I was able to start my own life from there. I feel like I had a few years where I was in this weird limbo where my life kind of paused and I was robbed of all of my happiness and my emotions. I was stuck. And a lot of my clients are in those situations, and that's what we work towards. We work towards getting unstuck and establishing those boundaries. It doesn't always mean you can move out because you can't, but there's other ways of navigating this. And that was such a big part for me. So that was my feeling throughout that time. And in the first episode of next month, I want to talk more about how things are now and what things look like 14 years after my mom's initial diagnosis, 13 to 14 years later. How have I transitioned and what is my involvement now? These are all the things that I want to touch upon in next month's first episode. See you then.
Thanks for listening to Caregiver's Compass. If you've enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review. Your ratings and reviews help more people like you find our podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and share this episode with someone you think would love it. I'm Stephanie Muscat. Have an uplifting day, and I'll see you next time.